Half Moon Hill. While the artillery swished and whined overhead in both directions, we moved to our new positions in the westernmost extension of Wanna Draw. By twos and threes, the company K-men forming the front line eased onto a barren, muddy, shell-torn ridge named Half Moon Hill, and into the foxholes of the company we were relieving. Our mortar section went into place behind a low rise of ground below the ridge and about 100 yards back of the front lines. The terrain between us and Half Moon was nearly flat. The little elevation behind which we emplaced our guns was so low that when we stood up beside the gun pit, we could see clearly up to the company's forward lines on the ridge. Readily visible beyond that, to the left front, were the still higher, smoke-shrouded Shuri Heights, the heart of the Japanese defensive system. That ominous and formidable terrain feature was constantly under bombardment of varying intensity from our artillery, heavy mortars, and gunfire support ships. No matter, though, it didn't seem to deter the enemy observers from directing their artillery and heavy mortars in shelling our whole area frequently, every day and every night. We faced south on Half Moon. A narrow-gauge railroad track lay a short distance to our right and ran south through a flat area between Half Moon and a ridge to our right, known as the Horseshoe. Beyond that, it swung westward toward Naha. An officer told us that the ridge to our right, west, and slightly to our rear across the railroad, was Sugarloaf Hill. Company K was on the right flank of 3-5 and moved up onto the western part of the base of Half Moon. The Japanese still occupied caves in both of the southward-pointing tips of the crescent. The right flank foxhole of our company was dug on the crest at the western edge of the end of the base of Half Moon. Below it, to the right, the ridge dropped away to low, flat ground. Our company CP was situated in the sunken railroad bed to the right of our mortar section's position. A nice tarpaulin was stretched over the CP from one side of the railroad embankment to the other. This kept the post snug and dry, while torrents of chilly rain kept shivering riflemen, machine gunners, and mortarmen soaked, cold, and miserable day and night in open foxholes. The rain greeted us as we moved into our assigned area. The almost continuous downpour that started on 21 May turned Wanna Draw into a sea of mud and water that resembled a lake. Tanks bogged down, and even Amtraks could not negotiate the morass. Living conditions on the front lines were pitiful. Supply and evacuation problems were severe. Food, water, and ammunition were scarce. Foxholes had to be bailed out constantly. The men's clothing, shoes, feet, and bodies remained constantly wet. Sleep was nearly impossible. The mental and physical strain took a mounting toll on the Marines. Making an almost impossible situation worse were the deteriorating bodies of Marines and Japanese that lay just outside the foxholes where they had fallen during the 5 days of ferocious fighting that preceded Company K's arrival on Half Moon. Each day's fighting saw the number of corpses increase. Flies multiplied, and amoebic dysentery broke out. The men of Company K, together with the rest of the 1st Marine Division, would live and fight in that hell for 10 days.